I want to turn today to 2 Corinthians in chapter 11. Paul was a father to the Christians in Corinth. And a father has a greater concern for his children than a teacher has for his students. Because a father brought his children forth and has brought them up, and one of the things he pointed out to the Corinthians in his first letter was, you can have 10,000 teachers, but you don't have many fathers. And when a father corrects his children, it's in a different spirit than a teacher correcting students. Paul was very strong in the way he corrected people, but it's because he was concerned that they shouldn't miss out on something in eternity. Teachers are more concerned with their salary. They got to do a job in school in order to get their salary. It's very important, brothers and sisters, for you to distinguish between a father and a teacher. Because, you know, the world is full of preachers now. And we have a lot of them coming right into our sitting rooms through television. And the thing that surprises me, even of people in this church, is that they have suddenly developed respect for unknown teachers whose faces they see on the screen, more than for fathers who have cared for them for many years. It amazes me. That is one of the great deceptions of Satan. When we don't know anything about a man's life, how he lives, whether he's divorced or not, how he's brought up his children, what sort of church he's planted, I'm absolutely amazed that so many people swallow preaching, because that's all that seems to matter to them. Words, not life. And I've asked the Lord, I said, Lord, why is that? And I got an answer. It's because there are people even in this church who do not love the truth. That's why they are fooled by teachers and develop more respect for them than for fathers. That's the reason why the Corinthians, this is not something new to the 21st century in Bangalore. It happened in the first century in Corinth. The church in Corinth had no respect, most of them, for the Apostle Paul, who planted them, cared for them, brought them up for so many years. And they got taken up with these fancy preachers who came along, who were only after their money. One way you can distinguish between a teacher and a father, I think all of us sitting here have had fathers and teachers, or at least mothers, even if your father died when you were young. And what is the difference that you've seen? When your parents brought you up, they were not interested in what you could do for them. They were only interested in what they could do for you. Whereas a teacher works for a salary. He's interested in what he can get out of it. That one simple test will deliver you from a lot of deception. Is this man interested in what he can get from his listeners? Or is he interested in you? There was a rich man who once came to Jesus. And Jesus said, give away your money and come to me without your money. Have you ever in your life heard a preacher say that? I personally said that to people, to come to this church and never drop any money in the offering box. I said, because we are interested in your soul. Yeah. I say this because I find that despite repeated mention, people continue to be deceived. So Paul says here, verse 2, I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. He speaks about a passion burning inside him. He says, I promised your hand in marriage to Christ, and I presented you as a pure, to present you as a pure virgin to her husband, but now I am afraid that you're being deceived. I think of Abraham's servant who went to Mesopotamia, a picture of the Holy Spirit who has come to the earth. Do you know what he went to Mesopotamia for? You read in Genesis chapter 24, he went with only one purpose. And he had no time even to see the sights in Mesopotamia. It was a new land and all that. He wasn't a tourist. He came there with one purpose, to get a bride for Isaac. The Holy Spirit has come to earth with one purpose, to get a bride for Jesus Christ. And it says in that long journey, I don't know how many days or weeks it took traveling from Mesopotamia all the way back to Canaan. What do you think Rebekah would have been talking to Abraham's servant about? I think I know. She would have been telling him, tell me more about Isaac. I want to know about him. I've never seen him. I want to know. Tell me. You've seen him. You know him. Tell me about him. How do we know whether you're part of the bride of Christ or not? That's the way. You'll be asking the Holy Spirit, tell me more about my bridegroom. I've never seen him. I want to know him, what he's like. I want to know him before I meet him. And can you imagine how, I don't think Rebecca would have asked him, well, do you think he'll give me a lot of money? Do you think he'll give me a chariot for myself? No. And I can imagine how jealously Abraham's servant would have protected her from men who tried to tempt her along the way. She was a pretty woman. And how he would have defended her from deceivers, robbers. And that's how the Holy Spirit seeks to protect us from deceivers, so that we are preserved as a pure virgin for Christ. And when a man like Paul, an apostle, was filled with the Holy Spirit, he had the same passion that the Holy Spirit had to protect this virgin bride of Christ. That's what he says here. I promised your hand in marriage to Christ. There are very few servants of God like this who, when they bring a person to Christ, like Abraham's servant, will seek to preserve that person right until the day they present that person to Christ in marriage. See, Abraham's servant didn't sort of get Rebekah and say, okay, this is the direction to Canaan, go. No, he took her all the way and gave her to Isaac. And a true servant of God is like that. He's not just concerned to preach a message to you. He's concerned for you that he will present you one day as a pure virgin to Christ. My dear brothers and sisters, don't be deceived by teachers who don't even know you and who have no interest in presenting you as a pure virgin to Christ.